Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Flight for Entirety, the only Doctor Who commentary podcast which spent all of 2006 either hungover or scuba diving in Spain and ended up missing any number of alien invasions as a result. I'm Nathan.
I'm James.
I'm Todd.
I'm Peter.
So this is Christmas in July for Flight Through Entirety. We are actually recording this on the day that we release it, much like a late Troughton episode, as Peter observed earlier before I started recording. So we are currently on the DVD screen or the Blu-ray screen for series three, and we've got The Runaway Bride selected. So when I next say the code word, I want you to press play on your remote control.
And Nathan, what is the code word?
So the code word for this episode is Neris.
Yes, I wanted to beat that.
So, the next time I say that, I want you to press play. This is just going to be a one-off for us this week. We will be back in September for the rest of series three. Okay, so I'm about to press play. Neris, and we're off. Oh my god, I've put Rose on by a mistake.
Or the Christmas invasion.
Or the Christmas invasion. We did that at the Christmas invasion too.
It's a bit of a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. The 11th hour?
Maybe. I can't remember. But it certainly is him relaunching the show. This is our first post Rose episode. Oh, there's a dad.
Yeah, apparently much loved amongst the cast and crew.
So the story is that he did come back for series four and shot a bunch of scenes, but was so ill that they couldn't be used.
He recorded everything for what's that episode called? Partners in Crime.
Yeah,
and died shortly afterwards, and so they had to quickly recast him, and we ended up with Bernard.
Yeah, Sir Bernard. Which is a pretty good thing.
Here's Lance.
Good old Lance.
Don Gillett?
Yes.
Don Gillet, I'm not sure.
Okay. Who, of course, went on to be in EastEnders and was a very big character.
He was great in that.
And there she goes.
He's very pretty.
I really like that we go back because now, you know, we get the exterior establishing shot and we're back in the very final scene of Doomsday.
But not actually the same recording.
It's not the same take? They redo it?
Because the lighting in this episode was done by a different lighting supervisor, they actually reshot the scene.
It's like refilming a cliffhanger reprise in the old days. Hooray.
It's a cheat.
Because that lighting supervisor liked to light the TARDIS in a slightly different way. And it didn't cut together properly, so they had to redo that scene.
I quite like how the TARDIS looks different in different episodes, actually. Some people like to
look more golden. Oh, and we got the proper logo finally.
Ah, yes. There we go.
It looks the most impressive in Boomtown, where they've lit it strongly green for the sort of Slitheen undercurrents.
Yeah, yeah. So Margaret's face is bathed in green, even when she's just, you know, a net and not a suit.
Well, she's shouting.
She is shouting.
The what?
Oh, dear.
That's not even a proper word.
I love this episode.
Yeah, Aros Lynn is good. We were pretty cross with him last year, I think, probably, because he got a couple of duds.
We were half cross with him. He got a couple of really good episodes, too.
Yeah, that is true.
Neris.
And we know Neris already because it's just that person who is turning up her nose in the wedding ceremony. That just has to be Neris.
Well, and Neris comes back in the end of time.
Yeah.
When Donna gathers everyone together and says, photos with friends. Friends and Neris.
She's made Neris be her bridesmaid this time and put her in something horrible. This is such a great choice. And the music, I think, too. Like, the music for this, you know, really, really plays up the comedy. And I think you just have to do that because we're straight out of the end of Doomsday. I mean, he was in Bad Wolf Bay projecting himself mere seconds before this opens, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it's a bold call to go from something big like that into basically Doctor Who's first screwball comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got Catherine Tate, and so...
Gosh, she's
rise good. To the occasion.
She's so good. And of course, she started this scene at 11, and like at 11 out of 10, and then pulls it back slowly through the episode. And I think when she was announced as coming back, people who were not that comfortable with her casting thought that she might be at 11 all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, they make some choices and make her into a fully rounded character.
I'm probably one of those people.
Yeah.
And so I just felt. Here she's talking a little bit, but she basically screams through the first 13 minutes of this until they're up on the roof. Yeah. And at that point, I was this there going, who is this woman? Why?
Yeah.
And then as they begin to have conversations and she begins to scale it back, I began to warm to her, and well, I guess we'll get to that. But it's brilliant casting somebody well known in Britain.
She just smacked him in the face.
To deal with Billy Piper's departure, to have this name in here,
yeah,
as such a contrast as well.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, there is a through line both for her and for him.
Oh,
there's Rose's top.
So, as originally scripted and shot, the Doctor grabs the shirt off her and opens the TARDIS door and throws it out. And they cut it in editing because it was too melodramatic.
Yeah.
David Tennant.
Too melodramatic even for David Tennant. Yes.
It's interesting how he downplays this. I lost her and it's all very...
I quite like this too. Like, yeah, he doesn't respond, but she kind of, she's, you know, she's doing proper acting. It isn't all just, you know, her doing a sketch comedy or anything. Even at this point, she's doing proper acting. And later on, she's going to be great. And that's, you know, it just makes her the perfect choice to play the companion.
And here's her mum.
Oh, my God, she's great.
Jacqueline?
She's so yeah, great. Jackie King.
She's wow. Doctor Who's legendary Jackies.
Yeah.
She's yeah. great. Yeah, Jackie Hill, Jackie yeah. Lane.
Yeah, Jackie Tyler. She's just terrific. And she's so good instantly. And again, she comes back as a semi-regular and gets to do some proper acting as well.
You know, this is not her first Doctor Who either.
What?
She was in A Big Finish.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't count.
I thought you were going to say that she was a Zabi.
No. Everyone's been in Big Finish. You need a few equity cards.
Yes. She was in one of the Unbound audios.
Oh, okay.
The Derek Jacobi one.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh, just great.
I was also in one of the Unbound audios.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. Sympathy for the Devil. Doing a terrible job.
Did you get your equity card?
Actually, David Tennant was in that one, so I met him, and this was before Doctor Who, obviously, and so we just met in the green room, and he was just, you know, regular guy, little didn't know what awaited him.
Yeah, wow. Just having the Doctor shout out Donna now that we've heard him do that so many times over Series 4. It's strange watching it in like this with the knowledge that she'll be back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, we were saying, you know, she goes on to become wonderful. It's what you get when you cast a proper star in a companion role.
Yeah.
You know, she's meant to be a guest role here, and so she's got proper star billing. But then she comes back as a regular, and, you know, there's a reason that she's so successful.
But it's also, I think, when you cast comedians or people known for comedy in more serious roles, like when they do the straight acting, there's just a gravitas that they bring to it in so many different...
It's strange, isn't it? Yeah. But it's a really common thing. I mean, I even think Bernard Cribbins, you know, who is a comedic actor.
But I think you need, if you're a good comedian, you need to understand drama.
Yeah.
And she certainly has proved that she understands how to play something dramatically.
I love how Christmassy this is.
Like we're back in the same street, actually, aren't we?
We've just got like a few.
This looks like it's outside Henrik's.
Windows with Christmas and, you know, that
blazing sunshine. Yes, Christmas in July. Yeah.
Apparently, it was like 32,
33 degrees. What did I say? Oh, I think I'm in drag.
You're not fooling anyone there, mate.
I think there's a slight nod to things later on where the doctor takes off his jacket and puts around Donna, and like, not convinced.
They need to colour grade it a bit more. Make it bluer.
Yeah, yeah. It is very, really noticeable.
Lots of leaves on those trees as well.
Look at David Tennant there. Just in the back of the cab, he didn't have any lines, and he was like everything, acting the whole way. He's just inhabits the character.
You can tell these two got on really well.
Yeah,
filming this,
they're wonderful. When she, do you remember when they used to do sort of podcast commentaries? That they would, they weren't commentaries, were they? They were just sort of podcast episodes.
Yeah, they were podcast commentaries.
They were commentaries, yeah. And the two of them together are just spectacularly funny.
They've done, they did, I should say, at the time, several of those. Talk shows like Jonathan Ross and that, and whenever they were together, the chemistry just fizzed.
I mean, Tennant is so charismatic that, in that
David
context.
Tennant run is really cool. He's all arms when he runs.
Yeah, still not as funny as the Capaldi run, though. Nothing is funnier than Peter Capaldi running.
The penguin with its ass on fire.
Yeah, that's right. But it was Armando Iannucci who said that. So he'd always arrange for scenes where Malcolm Tucker would have to run because Capaldi is just so hilariously funny.
I just like how everybody in the church is just walking around as if, you know,
I love
it's a major emergency.
Yeah. Well, I love how this scene is directed, too, with the camera suddenly changing directions and following someone new who comes into the scene and having the vicar about to call the police.
It is a police matter.
Wow.
There we go.
Yeah. It's such a sunny day.
Not exploding this year.
They put it back together pretty quickly.
Yes. True. Rebuilt the whole building.
Well, we got surprisingly cleaned out that basement.
I completely skipped that she actually got a tenner off that woman.
Yeah.
Oh, look, they're back.
They've been redesigned so they look better. They did look a bit crummy.
They were never the best idea the first time round.
No.
Did you notice Donna's shoes in that scene?
I didn't.
She'd been wearing sports shoes between takes and forgot to take them off for one of the takes. And so if you look closely, you can see her in sports shoes.
Eros, darling, what is CGI for? And then we get a lot of really looking fake money.
That's so great, though.
Doctor stealing for the first time?
Yes. Well, no, he stole the TARDIS.
Stole some clothes.
Apparently there were 10 and 20 pound notes. The 10 pound note said, "I promise to be the bearer on demand the sum of 10 satsumas." And the 20 pound note said, "There's no point being grown up if you can't be a little childish."
No.
So if you swap that for satsumas, does that mean money grows on trees?
We're here all week.
She's very shouty.
This is so great. Now, so last year we saw the TARDIS interacting with the world in a completely new way, where the TARDIS appears midair and sort of bashes against the walls of the power state, you know, and then just physically landing on the ground. But this, you know, this is something the TARDIS has never, ever done before. There's a couple of firsts here.
Yeah, I think at the end as well.
Yeah.
I think this is... Absolutely, this blew my mind watching this. I thought,
it's brilliant.
My goodness, you know, to actually have a car chase with the TARDIS actually chasing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the imagination of Russell combined with the technology.
Yes.
I think they might have shown this scene as a teaser for the episode at one of the Music of the Spheres concerts.
And you could hear Doctor Who celebration.
You could hear the audience react in real time, and they loved it.
I remember that. I absolutely remember it. Look how sunny it is. Santa's a robot.
White Rose has a microclimate.
It may possibly, it's believable if you think now.
That is so good. Oh. And the fact that she can't believe it either.
You're kidding me.
It's so great. Oh,
I love these kids.
I do too. Giving it an audience. Giving it a child audience,
yeah. Placing the audience in yep. the episode, yeah.
And the string. He does it with a bit of string. it's so good.
This is probably the best line of the episode coming up. The delivery.
Look at that shot. Mm.
Give it to us, Catherine.
and is that a reference to it looks like a reference to the scene in Terror of the Autons where the Doctor pulls the face mask off the policeman, oh, yeah, and it's an Auton, oh, yeah, face, like he's kind of doing it again.
I seem to recall in the Confidential that
they referenced that.
That was a different reference. Yeah.
If only Mike Yates had sailed in and rescued them here, it could have improved the episode.
There's maybe no episode that wouldn't be improved by Mike Yates coming in and rescuing you, I think. Maybe Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS.
I actually like that episode. It's still funny.
I like how he grabs that scenario, yeah, like locked in.
Yeah. It's well told, really efficiently told, yeah, isn't it?
Great response, Tom.
Oh, wow. It's so exciting and it's so visceral, like just the shot of the road and all of that. It's properly, you know, nerve-wracking.
And you just know they would have had to have chosen every shot so carefully to save money. And who else has told it so economically?
I love this, like, you know, the friend you lost and trust me, this is just, you know. And it's the first time that he's actually vocalizing that she's not dead, she's alive.
Yeah, yeah.
It's this journey that he's going on during this episode.
Well, I mean, we saw Christopher Eccleston's doctor hold out his hand for Linda with a Y to take, and we saw how that turned out. You know.
I just love how it spins off. In
brilliant sequence.
Oh, and without a cut, her hand comes into shot, or without a very obvious cut.
Oh, now, this is interesting because these, I think, might have been some of the first scenes shot for this. And there were Doctor Who fans watching the filming down below, and they were trying to keep Catherine Tate a surprise, yeah, so that when she appeared at the end of Doomsday, no one would know. And they could only see in long shot a woman wearing a bridal gown, but couldn't see who it was. And so rumors were rampant that it was Elizabeth Sladen and Sarah was coming back. And you can kind of see it.
From there, look, from behind, she's got her long hair.
Yes, with her Canine and Company hair, yes.
So this is where I started to thaw this character and performance.
Well, she's kind of resigned, isn't she? She's tired and she's resigned. And
little does she know.
And the actress is there, you know, being so good as she is, peeling back the layers on the character. She knows that Donna's shoutiness is all a shield. She knows she's deeply insecure and doesn't think she's very good at anything. And so when you get moments like this, she's just vulnerable.
Yeah. And we get, like, you know, we'll get there, but, you know, she's even more vulnerable later on.
Cold, put that jacket around. It could snow at any moment. Another one of little Russell's things, using just a
ring,
an ordinary thing as a scientific explanation device.
Yeah. Even biodamp is a pretty well chosen word. Mm. Yeah, it's not gravitic anomalizer, it's
telebiogenesis.
Biodamp might be my brand of washing powder.
The robot Santas are hopeless, aren't they? What the hell are they? Oh, here we go. She hasn't. Yeah. Well, And no one ever mentioned to her that there'd been a big spaceship. She'd never heard it.
I love how that becomes a running theme.
Her it's windows so didn't shatter.
Well, Moffat, I think, kind of tries to put a line under it by giving it a science fiction explanation, doesn't he? The crack, you know, prevents everyone from remembering things, which is, you know. But I kind of like it. It's, I don't know, is it sustainable? Like, do we want Doctor Who set in our world, or do we want Doctor Who set in a world where there've been lots of public alien invasions? Russell leans into it.
I definitely want Doctor Who set in our world, but I want comedy explanations, like the fact that Donna was off in Mallorca or whatever. That's fine. I'm good with that.
Yeah,
I agree with you, Peter. Yeah.
Yeah, just hang a hat on it, like make it funny. Mm. Yeah. Did she punch you in the face?
I'd say that to Todd last week. Stop bleeping me.
It's not Peter, it's Richard. Listeners, let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, let's have some comedy flashbacks.
Oh, yes.
And look, this is Donna out of her bridal gown, and so suddenly she looks like Series 4 Donna.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Me, who me? Oh, yeah, I have some coffee.
It's really good and playing to her strengths. We have a really long exposition scene here, and she's doing a head laugh, the sort of throw your head back when you laugh. And this, when we cut back to him begging her to marry him.
he insisted. I actually think he's a very handsome man.
He's very handsome. And actually, he's, as far as I recall, I don't know the character's name, I can't remember it. His EastEnders character had a similar trajectory that he got with Denise, who's a very beloved character. And was charming and then turned out to be a serial killer.
Yeah. I watched it. It was great.
It's so good.
Oh.
One of their banner years.
Yeah.
So I think we discussed this when we were recording Series 2, didn't we? This was originally scripted.
Yeah.
Russell wanted this for sort of mid-season Series 2.
That's right, because Billy was originally going to leave at the halfway point.
And
stay behind in Pete's world.
Yes.
And then when he found out from Jane Tranter that they'd been renewed for a third season and another Christmas special, he went, well, actually, let's make that the Christmas special.
Well, you can't half tell. I mean, there's no episode that's got Christmas shoehorned in as much as this one.
Neris.
Oh, bless.
Jackie?
Oh, is Neris dancing with Lance?
Yes. She's made her move in Neris. Oh, my goodness. That's just wonderful.
Setting it up. Neris. So great.
Do you know who Neris reminds me of?
Without me.
Who?
Claire from Steps.
She does look like Claire from Steps. One of the girls from Muriel's Wedding who hates Muriel's.
Oh, you know the one? Yeah, with Sophie Lee.
Yes.
Or Monk or something.
No, it's Sophie Lee.
Okay.
The Doctor's really good in this too, Tennant. The yes, I gathered is really like actually having him have to take a kind of back seat to someone who's much louder and bigger and shoutier. Like normally he's the center of attention, but when Donna's in the room, he's kind of her sidekick.
You can almost see mentally each time he sort of cocks his head like, I've just got to readjust my hearing. Okay, let's go
ahead. I love what she does here.
This is so subtle, isn't it, James? It's
everybody's like,
I love this. She turns to it and winks. It's fantastic.
This is not putting up with any of it. The Doctor realizes what he's got on his hands, I think.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
And now, a bit of grooving.
This is actually really fun.
It is.
Yeah.
Smile.
And this is actually a good moment for the Doctor as well, I think, where we get to reestablish, because we get that flashback. Is it to Doomsday? I think it's to Doomsday, where he looks up and sees someone dipping someone on the dance floor, and then remembers.
Flashes to Rose.
Yeah.
Isn't it from that season opener from last year?
Oh, actually, it might be from From New Earth.
Where he dips the Lady Cassandra or something.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's really really good.
Or Torchwood.
I wish I could get my phone to have sort of block capitals that big on the screen.
Isn't it incredible to think 2006 is using a WAP browser? So bad. WAP is crap.
But did you notice the little, like, play button on the phone? Like, he actually had to start the video clip playing on the phone.
Here you go, I think.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah, it's it's new. It's newer. Chips in the background there. Yeah. No, that's good. He's and then he stops wallowing in it really visibly.
He's working through this pain. Yeah. And now we've got somebody with a huge video camera, which these days, well...
No, you just do it on your phone. Or GoPro or something.
Or take the whole thing.
Was he one of the friends in Gavin and Stacey?
Oh, I don't know, possibly.
Being a Welsh actor. Wasn't everybody in Wales in Gavin and Stacey?
I quite like how everyone sort of, you know, this sort of amazing space thing happens, and again, they all just kind of ignore it or rationalise it or whatever.
Some stupid joke. It's just dismissed, yeah.
I mean, in fact, Jackie's angry at Donna because that's her kind of default mode.
It's her shtick. Blame Donna. I like there where they rewind the tape. It does the thing where it only happens in film TV where it makes the noise. Yes. It never does in real life.
No.
It's like when they hit a button on a remote in American television, it goes click. And you think, no remote's click.
Santas are coming back.
I also think, too, that he was obviously standing in the place where Eros put the cameraman, because he's actually, you know, what he taped is the opening scene. Yeah, I think this is slightly naughty, isn't it? Like, to have people being exploded at the reception and then we don't care about it.
I was slightly disappointed with this coming up sequence, because we've got a Christmas tree, and I really liked the original Christmas tree with Jackie when it was spinning around, and I actually wanted the tree to spin.
Yeah, I guess he felt he'd done that, and now let's do something different. Yeah,
even if the bauble things had spun out from the tree, I just wanted the tree to spin.
It is slightly like the Moldavian massacre from Dynasty, where all of these exploding globes go off and then everyone picks themselves up and dusts themselves off.
We get a line about people being hurt.
An idiot. Oh.
That's not very good CGI.
No.
Do you think if Donna got the line, "I'm going to be killed by a Christmas tree," she'd do it better than Jackie?
No. Thanks, Todd.
No, that is one of the most brilliant moments ever.
That hair is so late 2000s.
Yeah.
Well, ooh. Thank you, James.
Are we in this episode, Peter?
It's sort of quite well done.
Oh, and wait, the cake's sitting there, so it's got to go at some point. Oh, there we go!
Whoa, that was awesome.
He's a member of Havoc.
Is that Alan Chuntz or
Cake Rick is by Havoc.
I mean, I don't think this is an especially inspired story. I think the mechanics of it are pretty workmanlike, but it's been dressed up really well. There's a lot of entertaining scenes to keep it going.
Well, I think that's the Christmas thing, isn't it? Like, it is sort of paper thin. Like, there's all kinds of dialogue that gets in there to kind of paper over sort of pretty gaping kind of plot problems. Mm. And it's just like science fiction dialogue and stuff.
Mm, look at the shakes.
I mean, but this is good. You know, it's a sonic screwdriver and there's always a big PA system at a wedding. That makes sense. That's, you know, that's all right.
Look, it has to be, I think, a fun episode to an extent, considering what we've just gone through.
Yeah. And, like, when did Doomsday screen? It must have been...
July.
Okay. So we haven't had Doctor Who for 6 months. And making it fun, making sure that we know that it's not all going to be super overwrought, while also not making the Doctor appear callous for, you know, forgetting Rose and going off with someone else. Like, it's a kind of fine line.
If you're in the UK, I mean, we got this in June 2007.
Oh, did we?
Yes, we got it 2 days before Smith and Jones.
Oh.
And in Canada, because of the scheduling, This was broadcast 3 or 4 hours after Smith and Jones.
What? How weird. Yeah, I think Russell got it exactly right. I mean, his Christmas specials sometimes get criticised for being too populist, but the series was on an upward trajectory here. You just come off a really successful season that had a very, very successful conclusion, and then he comes back at Christmas. He does something really sort of interesting and wide-ranging, which anyone can watch. It just boosted the series profile.
Yeah.
I love the direction there when they look up and then you've got her pointer.
Yeah, and that's live. That's not matted in. That's, you know, that's her tapping a screen.
It does always get to me when you've got these aliens that have these pointer sort of hands that, you know, how could they actually come up with technology or do anything practical? That's it.
No, exactly.
Like Dalek sucker control.
But, I mean, this is a panto performance, isn't it? She's a sort of pantomime villain and she has that so odd way of speaking and stuff. But that's a deliberate choice. Oh, like, yeah.
It's Sarah Parrish, who I think had worked with David Tennant on a previous series. So they had Blackpool. Fun together.
They're on Blackpool.
Mm. Yeah.
Actually, I think not just Blackpool, there's something else as well.
Hmm. Oh, here we go. Oh, there we go.
It's a fantastic running gag. Mm.
I like the fact that it's an interracial couple again, a bit like Rose and Mickey.
Rose and Mickey, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Donna gets married in The End of Time as well.
To, what's that character called?
I can't.
His last name's Temple.
Yeah, I can't
remember. I want to say Simon Temple, but I don't think that's right.
So, of course, she's called Donna Noble because of Donna Nobis Parkem, like Give Us Peace. It's in Christmas carols, so she has a Christmassy name.
Yeah.
And then she gets stuck with that for, you know, the rest of the run.
I like that line in The Fires of Pompeii where the soothsayer says, "You who call yourself noble."
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's a bit shouty in this, aren't they?
Yeah, I like Lance. And again, Lance will, you know, when he reveals that he's really with the big spider lady, he'll start doing a panto performance as well, so he gets to be a panto sidekick.
I think Russell knows that, you know, it's just a big old spider, and so what he gives the Queen of the Arachnos is a sense of humour. She thinks everything's funny, and she appreciates Lance because he's funny.
Yeah.
Rather than just being straight-laced, it's nice to have that in your panto villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think Don is doing a great job and totally selling. I don't suspect him for a moment.
I like this. The Donna and Obey. It's slightly sexist.
I think we're about to descend into the Millennium Stadium corridors again.
As usual.
That's sort of lit with some green and blue gels in Blake 7 fashion.
Yep. It's Ed Thomas on a very good day.
With a Dalek lurking around the corner.
Yes, here we are.
This must be level one. It's green.
Look, it reminds me of the storm cage thing that.
Well, there's a good reason for that.
It's the same place. Yeah. But isn't there some product placement? Oh, here we go. I was about to say. Weren't these scooter things fairly new at the time?
Yeah.
Segways.
Yeah. Are they segways? Yeah.
I don't know. What are you segwaying to?
Josh, thank you.
Actually. It's really great, isn't it? With Lance kind of looking on, you know, like the two of them are just sparking so well. Like the two of them are really both enjoying it.
And actually, I meant to say when they were having their little conversation when she was in the taxi and he's in the TARDIS trying to coax her across, it was reminiscent in a reverse fashion of the scene in Partners in Crime where they're on opposite sides of the room talking at each other through the doors.
Yeah. Gosh, that's great. I was thinking about that the other day. That's so genius.
One of the key scenes of Modern Doctor Who.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Of course, if this was Christmas in the UK, it would not still be sunlight after...
No.
After 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Maybe they're in a miniscope.
Yeah, it was 3:10 p.m. earlier on the roof, wasn't it?
Yeah.
About time for that dinosaur to appear.
That was probably closer to, what, like 4:30, 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Lance rips off his mask and there's Major Daly.
Captain Yates.
Or Ian Marta. Oh, and now we're on top of the... and again, I've spoken a couple of times about the way that Russell enchants London, the way that he fills it full of sort of science fiction super bases and stuff. And here we have that lampshaded as a joke, you know, the secret base hidden underneath a major landmark in London. You know, who could imagine such a thing?
Oh, is that the Torchwood symbol?
It is the Torchwood symbol. It's the second time we've seen it because it was on another door.
H.C. Clements is owned wholly by Torchwood.
Yeah, yeah. So these,
has that been said yet?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are these the things, phone. Todd? You've seen this more recently than me, but do they reuse these props for the Daleks in Manhattan?
Oh, all these tubes and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they might well.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything new in those episodes.
I was thinking back to New Earth, but with all those tubes in the lift. But no, you're probably right.
Do they multicolour them?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It looks great. It is. It's pretty effective.
It looks good here.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I like all of the Doctor's simple explanations, like he had the cup and the pencil before and now this Russell makes it so accessible.
Yeah, he does a really, really good job of that. Yeah. Maybe more than anyone else, I think.
Mm.
And David's done that thing that all of the modern Doctors have done where he's come back, he's refreshed after doing his first series, has gone out, he knows it's been a success. He comes back and the first thing he shoots, he's just markedly more comfortable and confident in the role.
Yeah.
You see it with Matt Smith in Christmas Carol and Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I agree. Yeah.
Well, certainly Matt Smith in Christmas Carol, it's kind of like Moffat now knows what Matt's good at and just writes for that. You know, it's a real kind of showcase for him.
I have a hunch the first thing Matt shot after the series had gone out and he knew that he'd been a hit was the Sarah Jane Adventure story. And you can tell he's totally on top in that. It's right. Like he knows what he's doing.
Huon particles.
Yeah, they're from Tasmanian trees.
Who are they?
No.
It's a bit of a Huon cry.
Oh, please.
They should have been Huath particles.
Huath particles.
On the spiders.
Yes.
But spelt with lots of P's and D's.
Oh, and then a very big door.
Yes, and a drain, because you know what you do with a spider in England. If you find a spider in your house, you wash it down down the sink. And, and it looks like a sink. It looks like a plug hole. It looks
that's
like you rustling can find
3 o'clock in the morning.
yeah. It's terrific. It's not sort of referenced in dialogue or anything, but it's very clearly what you do. I could imagine Carol Ann Ford down there.
Down this hole.
Yes. Sheltered by Billy as they try not to have the tap turned on.
I didn't get you for a moment.
It's one of my favourite cliffhangers. Someone might turn the tap on. Glorious. Just tremendous.
When you put it like that.
Why does Donna think there are dinosaurs under the earth? It's such a bizarrely random little conversation.
Because she's seen The Lost World.
Journey to the centre of the earth.
Yeah.
In the sky.
But it is that thing about Donna being an idiot as well, which Lance kind of says.
So we're saying the first thing that comes into her head.
Yeah. So are we going to get to see her? She is about to appear.
That's great. That's great line.
Very funny.
Here we go.
You will be sick at heart.
So this spider, how much of it's practical?
All of it.
Most of it.
I think, yeah. Most
apart
really?
From, apart from her extra eyes.
Right. So that's actually a prop, a big giant prop.
It's her in a giant... hydraulic suit.
It's extraordinary.
Mm. It's, but it doesn't move more. Like, it just moves on the spot up and down as opposed to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does... I mean, it looks incredible.
Mm.
Mm. So, the eyes were CG'd when they blinked.
Yeah. So, all of her eyes blink at the same time. Yeah. But otherwise, that's just her in a big suit.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
She looks a little too human.
Yeah, I know, but it's, I mean, you know, like it's Doctor Who. They all look a bit human.
And she still looks great.
Yeah, yeah. And it is also the performance. Like somehow she's managing to deliver a really kind of fun and appealing performance despite, you know, I mean, that must have been a nightmare.
I love the
show. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Clements' shoes.
The laugh.
This is great. He's having a joke with the Rachnos.
Yeah. He's really horrible.
Mm.
And it is actually also kind of a funny speech as well. Like that Lance speech where he's horrible to Donna is, you know.
But it's so Donna that she's managing, like she's talking and talking and talking, you know, to distract someone.
It's
a big thing.
Apparently this outfit really stuffed up Sarah Parrish's back.
Oh, I can imagine it would have been a nightmare. I
understand.
She's kind of lying down in it. In
yeah.
But sort of vertical.
Yeah.
That's
funny.
Oh, dear.
Oh, and he's twigged to it before she has.
It's just horrible. At this point, I really feel
things he comes out with. It's just dreadful.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even point to Germany on a map.
So, do you think the EastEnders writers saw this episode and deliberately referenced
it? I don't know. I mean, certainly you can see the roots of his character in the performance.
So, he has known for a long time, hasn't he? The Doctor's known that Lance has been dosing him with the Huon particles. Like, he's worked it out, presumably, in the lab.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he
worked it out just then.
Did he work it out?
He kept giving him suspicious looks earlier.
I don't know. I have to go back and
watch it. Oh, yeah. No,
so he has worked
personnel. She's seen lots of films. And again, you know, when she's blustery, like this is what Donna's like when she's properly upset, you know, and we see it over and over again in series 4. She's so good. Yeah. You know, she's not yelling back.
No, it's really heartbreaking.
It's that line, the never-ending fountain of fat,
stupid trivia. Fat. Oh, it's just so awful. Good, isn't it? It's so well written. Oh, yuck. Wow.
That's what made it so easy.
Oh, it's, yeah. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I mean, this is her doing a proper reaction to something that is just ludicrous. I mean, you know, like a woman dresses a big giant spider and, you know, they're both doing comedy banter.
She called a lady earlier. She said, "Listen, lady." Yeah, and the Doctor's not got a whole lot to do, but David Tennant's, as usual, acting his socks off.
Oh, that's so funny. Who's his little physician? Martian. Oh, dear.
So, what is down there?
The beast.
The camera's going to come up.
Oh, couldn't this episode be improved mightily by the addition of Ida?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Oh, did he pick up the remote control earlier?
Yes.
We saw him do that?
And it's one of those big old sort of nonsense remote controllers.
Yeah. It's like a big Xbox control or something. Oh, and again, here's something new that the TARDIS hasn't done before, something that we've never seen with a new effect, you know, that makes you think of particles, right? Because it's particles calling to particles.
I think at the start of Parting of the Ways, that was the first time we'd seen the TARDIS materialise around someone.
Around someone, yeah. And Russell does, after, you know, 26 years, give the TARDIS new things to do all the time.
It's so imaginative because we also always think inside the box, like,
yeah,
and you don't think outside that.
Yeah, what if the TARDIS did this? And we're about to see another one too, because this is something that's never happened before either, where Donna, I'm talking over her acting. This again, is another one where we're sort of papering over a sort of giant plot hole, which is that it took 6 months to create the first key with Huon energy, and now the Queen's going to make Lance into a key in 5 minutes because she's already calibrated the things or whatever.
It also begs the question why she didn't just use Lance in the first place.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That's all good.
And, like, the Doctor's funny too, hiding behind the TARDIS, behind the, you know, the time rotor, because he doesn't really want to deal with
emotions.
Yeah. She's good here, isn't she? She's now just tired.
See, the other thing Lance could have done was with all of that laboratory, he could have poisoned all the water in the building and actually poisoned a lot of people. Mm. But I guess it depends on how much you could generate at once.
No, so we've never done this before, have we? Am I wrong? We've never opened up the TARDIS doors to look outside.
I think you might be right.
And it becomes a standard thing because the modern TARDIS in the new show doesn't have a big scanner screen. The only way to see the special effects outside is
Doesn't have a void between internal and external doors.
Yeah. But we looked outside earlier, didn't we? Right at the beginning of the episode when she was in the TARDIS. Didn't he open the doors then?
Yeah, she wanted to charge out.
Yeah. Okay. So, but
it happens twice.
Yeah. But it happens in this episode first, and now we do it all the time. And that too, she reacts correctly, you know. You know, that's how the Doctor wants her to react, to be excited, you know, by the creation of the world. The line about the Isle of Wight, I think, is a joke that the production team were making among themselves about one of the big CG rocks that goes past in the end of the world after the world's destroyed.
See, he's opening her eyes to possibilities for the first time, and at the same time, she's opening his heart to a future.
Yeah, it's really good. And look at, she's smiling.
And he's also smiling, you know.
Yeah. They're wonderful together, aren't they?
She's just, you know, I did the big surveys for Doctor Who magazine of the entire series, and they asked favourite Doctor, favourite companion, and she came a strong second both times, you know, even after she'd been out of the role for 6 years to Elizabeth Sladen. So she's got real staying power.
Right. Wow, that's great.
People loved Donna.
Yeah, well, I guess season 4 was probably the show at its absolute peak, wasn't it?
Which is what makes the end of series 4 so devastating.
Yeah.
It's much worse than having the character killed. You take away everything they learned and enjoy that. That's just crippling.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, we go back to Zoe and Jamie, and I'm always upset about, especially Jamie.
It is the modern equivalent of that.
Oh, we could do a big count of how many aliens are trapped on Earth from the dawn of time to influence human.
I think that's the joy of Doctor Who. Yeah. We get so many different explanations.
Yeah, that's right.
So also, the Doctor's gone further back than this, hasn't he? Event 1?
I guess so.
I always love that vortex when it, you're going in reverse or
goes blue and red.
Yes.
Is that a real thing? Does that actually work?
I think it does. I think there is definitely something in one episode where they change direction and the vortex changes colour because they're now travelling into the future or the past.
Right.
Well, that was the whole thing with the new series. They deliberately coded travelling the past into one colour and travelling into the future with the other.
Yeah. Oh, now we're on a different level because it's blue.
Yes, exactly. The holy bride in white.
Oh. That's the old pressure point trick, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So pressure where point. Are we going now?
Is that Blake 7?
It's Blake 7 episode where they have a series of scenes of the characters climbing down ladders which lead on from the other. And it's clearly the same ladder with just a different coloured gel sheen on to it.
And it's not as inventive as that as you just made it sound.
No, it's not. Peter loves Blake 7.
You're doing it now, James.
We have to be sold down.
No.
Yeah.
You've never been so quiet.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? And he says that line without even sort of breaking the thread of his sentence either. It's amazing.
Oh, look, a glass painting.
Yeah.
Is that wedded life? Is that chamber that they're in the same one the Autons were in? It looks like it.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I'm sure the gels were a different colour.
I was thinking that when I was watching it last night, it does look very similar, doesn't it?
Mm.
I like how she insists that they say I do.
Yeah, so she's got a sense of humour.
Yeah, yeah, she's she's a, it's a very, very strange. Yeah, I think there must be lots of fanboys who hate this because...
Nathan, activate the particles.
I'm doing it now.
Got some particles, but she's got more.
Yeah, well, she's had 6 months and he's just... So, okay, they're both keys.
What were you going to say about fanboys?
Well, just because she's ridiculous, do you know what I mean? Like, she is, it's bizarre that there's a big red spider with a sort of comedy panto kind of style of talking that that lives in the middle of the earth. It just seems absurd.
So has she lived all this time or been in hibernation or what?
Yeah, she's in the web star thing, I guess, for all that, for billions space. Of years.
So she's that old?
I suppose. She's the only one who survived.
She's pretty well preserved.
Yeah, she's looking good on it. My
babies will be hungry.
This episode has an advanced idea of silliness, which is, you know, what you need for Christmas and probably what, you know, some fans don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that's aware of its own silliness and relishes it.
Yeah.
Where's the animus when you need it?
This hairdryer thing.
Here we go. And...
It's the one thing she can do is cut things. There goes Lance.
Well, Lance. Sorry.
So they brought the Arachnos back for Big Finish.
Let's move on.
But guess who they got to play her?
Who?
Well, or an empress. Who? Joy and Doe.
Oh, really?
Who's that?
Francine.
Oh, right. Okay, great. Should be great. Oh, lots of...
All I can think about is in Turn Left later on where this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And people blame Ken Livingston for it.
And one of the most amusing performances in modern Doctor Who, the guy who comes into the pub and goes, "Everyone come out and look, it's a Christmas star."
So really the web star is to blame for Boris Johnson.
Yep, yep. And so here's the doctor to flush them all down the sink.
I do think this episode ran out of story a little bit. This is a very protracted climax in one location.
It's fantastic.
Bang. That's great. That's such a cartoon, isn't it?
I know the story gives a bit of comedy.
Is there another screwball comedy in Doctor Who?
Yeah, I think Partners in Crime.
Yeah.
No, absolutely right. Yeah.
But that's better.
I love how he gives her one last chance, as he has done a number of times.
But I like Donna's reaction to this. And again, like, you know, Donna's conclusion about the doctor needs someone to stop him.
Yep.
You know, he can't travel on his own. He needs someone who's a conscience, you know.
This is it's just very clever writing and relax.
Yeah.
And they come back to that in Fires of Pompeii where they show Don't Tell that the doctor needs someone to stop him and that's Donna.
Mm. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Of course they are.
This is significant. This is the first time this is mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder whether I was happy or sorry.
He should have given it its full name, Gallifrey and the Constellation of Castorberus.
Yeah, it's a long word. It's longer than Raxacoricofallopatorian.
Well, I think it's just something a little bit more history, and we we weren't bombarded with this back in episode one.
No, that's right. That's absolutely right. Or in the very first opening monologue.
Correct. So now is the time to introduce a little bit more. And,
yeah.
And obviously it will come into significance down the track.
Yeah, that's right. The end of – we need it to seed it now for the end of
next season.
Next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he does that really well, doesn't he? We've talked about that before, just gradually introducing a whole new generation to the mythology without overwhelming them.
Yeah, it's subtle.
Where are those flames coming from?
I don't know. This is a room that blows up for no reason quite a lot if the Autons were down here.
Is this a real model shot or is this CGI? Yeah,
it's CG,
or what?
I think. But
it's real.
What? The plug is not real.
No, it's all real.
But there's a lot of water. Yeah, I mean, they are spraying a lot of water all over the place.
And she's not happy.
Yeah, it's a model shot.
The water's,
that's why it's in slow mo.
Yeah, the water's real, isn't it?
To make it
look. Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, because it would be traveling down the plug hole much faster if it was.
Yeah.
We've come a long way from that water superimposed over the Doctor and Susan.
Or the fish people ballet.
Yeah. Bring them back.
Don't criticise the fish people ballet.
I also think, too, that Russell does a good thing. You know, like, they're her children, and so, you know, she's horrible, obviously, and a big spider and stuff, but there she's crying about her children dying.
You feel pity for her.
And that family thing, like, making the Sardine all a big family and stuff like that, that's something that he does. And the family of blood later, it's a family. And that's, you know, before that, the basic unit of alienness was a race, you know, like...
determined to conquer and destroy.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like Servalan and her her babies.
Yes, she felt them die.
I never understood, but I do now, that, like, she's out of all of her... she's used up her energy, so she's defenceless, so then...
And then Mr. Saxon can give an order. So this is our second reference, our first... reference in dialogue to Mr. Saxon.
Probably even one in the first episode of next season at the end, I think.
Oh, yes, there is.
The young doctor talks about
Mr. Saxon. Yeah. But Mr. Saxon did appear, he got mentioned in a newspaper in Love and Monsters. Which has references to Bad Wolf.
It's very subtly mentioned as far as I
know. Yeah. It's hard to notice, but...
this is also the second Christmas episode where the army or, like, Earth forces blow up the invader.
I like how that all collapses.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of confetti comes down. It's very seasonal.
Yes, it is.
Very festive.
Our Christmas theme.
Yeah, well, that moment in the last Christmas special where everyone's marvelling about how it's snowing in London and we just discover it's the ashes of burned up Sycoraxes instead.
Oh, a bit of comedy here.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? Just spectacular. Oh, and we're just in a suburban street. Just wonderful.
This is such a lovely scene.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. And just knowing now that she'll be back.
But by this point, you do want her to go with him.
Yeah. But it's a good... I actually think her arc is really very, very good because... you know, like what Lance said was that she's incurious about the world, that it's all celebrity gossip. She can't point out Germany on a map. You know, she's trivial. And, you know, that, you know, she wants to now make something of herself. She wants to, you know, enjoy her life and do what the Doctor does, but do it here on Earth.
And she comes back from exploring the world and sort of and desperately wants to see the Doctor again.
In fact, what I thought was really interesting, and we'll get there, that she starts to do it but then doesn't. It's the second time in a row that we make it snow. Doctor makes it snow at Christmas in London.
Do we also do that spoiler next year? Voyage of the Damned?
I can't remember.
With
the Titanic.
Atmospheric excitation.
That's a very Doctor Who explanation.
But it's so important here. Like, you could not have introduced Martha here. You needed this character as a gap between the next long-term companion and for him to come to terms with what he's lost.
Yeah.
Equally, Equally, you couldn't have. Although, you know, the reason that she's not in Series 3 is because they didn't think they could get her.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it actually works better that she doesn't go with him here.
Yeah,
yeah.
For both characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like that she's learned something about him and that she gives him some advice. It's
And she's not self focused.
Although she does that little Donna Watt. You could.
But she's actually Nan.
She's doing Nan. But she's not so self focused now as she was at the beginning of the episode. And she's asked about this person that traveled with the Doctor, and here at the end.
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? What was her name?
I think you need somebody.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Also, Catherine Tate is so beautiful. She's got such a beautiful, soft face.
Yeah, yeah.
You see her in close-up and your heart melts.
Yeah.
Is it a pleasant old young face?
It is. She older than Tennant?
I believe the only companion who's older than their Doctor.
Yeah.
But not by much, is she?
No, not much.
No.
I think she was like 2 years older than Tennant.
Right. I mean, Kylie's substantially older than Tennant, but spoiler alert, she doesn't last all that long.
Graham's older than his.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, now? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, who?
I like
him, thank you very much.
I like how she knows that he's not going to come back.
Yes. Yeah.
She knows that that's not a thing.
And let's go
back. And he couldn't do Christmas dinner. He couldn't do it with a new family.
No, too soon.
Yeah, far too soon.
Bit of shoutiness, but here.
It's funny the difference between the Doctors, because Matt Smith's really happy to sit down and have a Christmas dinner. He's not gregarious.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, and even that gets investigated a little bit in Day of the Doctor, I think, the difference between them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because people say that they're the Doctors who are the most similar, but...
No, they're not at all similar, yeah. Yeah, just sometimes you need someone to stop you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that they're both young with silly hair.
Yeah, they're just sort of... Yeah, that's right. Although Tennant's got good hair, and
until Day of the Doctor,
he won't next episode.
Until Day of the Doctor,
that hair is terrible. It's obviously a wig.
There's a story there. I'll tell you later.
No, tell us now.
Oh yes.
Look at him. Look at that little broken face.
I remember watching this the first time and actually, like, feeling that emotion.
Yeah, I'm cracking tears up a bit watching this in preparation for this. It's well
done. I love this. And then another new effect.
It's awesome. Yeah. He just does that for cheap tricks.
I wonder how long they were outside filming this with that fake emotion.
You know, I hope we see her again. She was very good.
She was very good. Yes. Very promising. Oh, look. Who's this?
And coming soon.
And so which episodes do we have here? We've got New Earth, we've got
some Gridlock.
Gridlock.
Episode 2.
We don't mean New Earth.
Oh, the
Oh, not New Earth. Smith and Jones. Smith and Jones.
We've got...
Yeah, the Dalek two-parter. Back to Gridlock. There's Gridlock again.
More Daleks.
Yeah.
I think we might have a bit of Lazarus thrown in.
Oh, I think we Lazarus gets in there. This goes on forever, doesn't it? And I guess, there's 3 months before we
face a bow? Yeah. They're really trying to sell the new season.
Oh, it makes it look like the most exciting thing ever, which it almost was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. I think it's a great season.
Oh, look, there's Chris Quedge.
Jeffrey Rush there with bad teeth. Oh, here's Lazarus Experiment.
Yes.
I have such a soft spot for Lazarus Experiment. I hope I don't hate it when I rewatch it. You sure are, Mark.
Just because we need to have that.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Oh, well, that was really fun.
Thoroughly enjoyable.
Final thoughts?
Look, I think it's fun and enjoyable. I think you're right, Peter. Perhaps it does run out of story at points, but I think it's what you need at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think it's inspired. I don't think it's something which has a big idea behind it or you think, oh, that's clever. It's fairly workmanlike.
but it's dressed up in so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I think that's the thing, though. It's a very straightforward, as you were saying earlier, it's a very straightforward story, but it's got such good actors in it. It's very visually engaging.
Individual scenes are really fun.
Mm. No, quite fun.
Cool. Well, dear listener, that's all we have time for this week. We'll be back in a very few weeks' time with our coverage of Series 3. In the meantime, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, and you can keep up with us at flightthroughentirety.com, Flight Through Entirety on Facebook, and at FTE Podcast on Twitter. You can also find our Series 11 flashcast, Jodie Into Terror, at jodieintoterror.com and at jodieintoterror on Twitter, and our James Bond commentary podcast, Bondfinger, at bondfinger.com, at bondfinger on Facebook, and at bondfingercast on Twitter. Until next time, may you recover from that nasty bout of Spanish flu in time to meet the Jones family in Doctor Who's very next episode, Smith and Jones.
I'm jonesing for it.
Keeping up with the Joneses. Oh,
please. Thank you very much for listening and good night.
Good night.
See you soon.
Happy Christmas.